I'm not trying to have completely chiseled body or be able to run a sub 2.5 hour marathon. The goal is to be healthy and live long enough to see our generations and interact with them. So I want to be able to pick up a grandchild when I'm 80.
Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss.
Top of the Friday to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Mark. You know what? This is just on my mind before. I know that you have some wonderful news to share with the people. I just have to say, today I've been meeting with families, working on vision with families, had some conversations with some of the men that I'm shepherding and mentoring along as part of what we do in the Abe's Wallet world. I just did a review with our producer about what Q1 looked like for Abraham's Wallet and all of our pod and YouTube stuff. And I just have to remind the people with a word of thanksgiving, gratitude, and a soft ask out there, which is this stuff does not happen if we don't have people that join our team and partner with us financially to keep the lights on and to keep our team moving forward. We don't have as much financial freedom as we wish we did, but we're very grateful for what we do have. It absolutely underwrites everything that we do. And I always worry about clogging up people's email boxes with, I want you to know that your support paid for this and this today. But at the same time, I kind of wish our people knew how much they're making happen. We send out those kind of annual reports, but on a weekly basis, our lifeblood absolutely is our donor team. So I just got to throw that out. And if it's ever been on your minds, how do these guys make it? The answer to that question from an Abraham's Wallet standpoint is barely. And if you want to start joining us or increase your support of us, by golly, we'd be delighted. So I have to throw that out, that these people kind of keep us going. Now, you were telling me about something wonderful it's a globally important thing because of you, the godless state that you live in and the wonderful success you've seen in your wonderful state. Well, tell us.
Are we talking about the same thing here? We're talking about my big...
Yes, I might be overhyping it, but...
Okay. I didn't want to miss the cue, which I guess I did. But yeah, so at the start of this spring, my daughter, who has been devotedly focused on improving at basketball, that has been her sport as a middle schooler and a high schooler, and she's gotten good. It's been so much fun. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. She came to us and she said, Mom and Dad, I'm going to try out for the soccer team. And we thought, because we have another daughter who is devoted to soccer. And we know how much time and effort and clubs and all that people put into that. And I thought it would be great if you made the team and got to hang out with your friends. But she did make the team, Stephen.
Nice.
And then she made the team and she earned herself a starting job as their primary striker, which if you're not a soccer person, that's the person that gets to hit it into the net most frequently. And then not only that, she scored far more goals than anyone else on the team for the season. And
wow.
You might be thinking, well, but what kind of team was it? And the culmination of this story is that last weekend on Saturday, we had one of the more fun athletic events of our life, attending the women's state championship game with these girls and watching them win a state championship in which my daughter indeed scored goals. So it was super fun. It was one of the more exciting. It was probably my favorite sporting event I've been a part of. It's much more so than when those dumb Mavericks won a championship back in the 2011. I thought it was really fun. So that was my news.
Tremendous. And as the, I'm quoting you now, as the only Christian school in the state, true?
Yeah, that's the thing. We are state champions of all the Christian schools. So it was really not very challenging because it was just us. No, I'm just kidding. We are the only Christian school, but we play public schools and private schools and all that.
Yeah, yeah. So to dominate the state title, I can't imagine that this is detrimental to the gospel in your state.
Today we're going to be continuing on our sort of series. It's become a series, talking about physical capital. And last week, we haven't even released that episode that we recorded last week, but I would assume when you're hearing this, then you will have heard last week our take on some of the questions we get, especially in the financial planning realm, around how should we spend on food. We often hear families object to our kind of advice that you need to set some budget constraints on food. And for some families, food is just the, you can't touch this. This, whatever it takes, we'll spend it. Today, we're going to talk about, I would just call it activity, and broadly two buckets. How do I exercise and keep my body healthy from an activity and exercise standpoint? And then inside of that really is, as the leader of a family, how do I approach kids' activities and keeping them exercise, navigating the tricky world of children's sports? Is a big thing for a lot of families now. So I want to cover those two things. But before I do, I think that there's something that most, if you go listen to a sermon on physical capital, they will generally start out by citing like 1 Timothy 4:8, which is when Paul says physical training is of some value, but godliness is valuable in all areas. That's great. That's true. We agree with that verse. Or they might cite 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is a temple, and kind of encourage you to treat your body well because of this truth that Paul shares with us there. And they'll try to make a tie between spiritual capital and physical capital. That's all good. We don't disagree with any of it. But one of the reasons that I thought that this would be such an important topic for us to cover here on Abraham's Wallet, instead of just going and finding some podcast where I could opine on food or exercise or whatever, is because I've seen a lot of families, as a financial planner or just as a disciple maker, who turn to elements of the physical capital world, whether that's food or exercise or medical care, and it sort of becomes their identity. It becomes this secret knowledge and something that is, you know, special about them. And I want to provide a warning to those people that those families are on the doorstep of something called the occult. And I know this might sound completely out of left field, but Stephen, you built the critical skills class, which has been one of the probably most valuable ministry tools that my wife and I have used in our city to train people in how to recognize what skills am I supposed to have as a believer, and what are the big pillars of the enemy's kind of attack on Christians? What should we be on the lookout for? And there's a whole week on this topic of a cult. And you might be going, Mark, a cult is where I was warned not to listen to Motley Crue as a teenager.
Right.
The occult. But the definition that you provide there is really helpful to me. It's you said the Merriam-Webster definition of a cult is to obscure or conceal, and an occultic spirit is one who makes a claim to do what only God can do and demands trust that only God deserves. So it obscures one's view of God's complete provision and protection and seeks control, destroys faith, and leads to fear. Does that sound familiar to you when you think about people who have overinvested their trust, whether it's in food or in the medical system? There's people who it's all the alternative medicine, and there's people who it's all the traditional medicine. It comes for you in whatever ground it can occupy. So the gist is, an occultic spirit's job is to get you to trust in them instead of in Jesus. So yes, I want you to put your budget together and to have a well-ordered kind of approach to physical capital when it comes to your money. That's why we run your home and your dough like a biblical boss is our tagline. And, you know, I want you to allocate a proper portion of that money to physical capital without bankrupting your family. But even more than that, I really want you to not put trust or faith into diet, healthcare, or exercise while also feeling confident to steward those resources. So trust in those things is not what we're after. Stewardship of physical capital is what I want you to all be good at. And that's why we're spending time on this. It's not just because Mark and Steven like to talk about sports or how you do your grocery shopping, or we're full of hot air because we did a really cheap low-do Feb month with our grocery budget. It's really because this is an area that you will see attacks on your family, and you will see temptations to trust in something other than the Lord. And we want you to not be so afraid of it that you go, I can't do any sports. We can't do any physical activity because it could take over. But we also want you to engage it in, aware of the pitfalls.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a danger for you, young dad, which is as you collect experience and information, you're going to populate your world with watchouts and things that you want to center on because you see that they would be avenues through to health and freedom for your family. And the warning is that for any of these things, it could be education, it could be asset acquisition, it could be medical information, supplements. I'm constantly hearing new ideas. Somebody got something from Huberman, take this pill. Whatever that thing is, it can derail you from the simplicity and freedom of following Jesus and leading your family to know him. I think that's supposed to be a simple, maybe not easy, but the plan is quite simple, that we would follow him. And the interesting thing is, as you go, as your world becomes more complex and God blesses you, for instance, is it more complex to have three kids than one? Yes, it is. As God blesses you with more kids, with more property, you need a bigger house, multiple cars, more finances, the more that you kind of level up with your awareness, your judgment, your experience, the tendency is that we become burdened by these things. So that now there, when you had your first child, there might be 10 things on your checklist. And now there's 1,000 things on your checklist. And you become slower in your spirit because you're burdened by all these things. I think the trick in maturity as a father is that we learned mastery over these various capitals. And we remain at this, the simplicity of trusting Christ, following him. And then we go to the next place and we learn mastery of that thing. And then we go to the next place. If you're starting a business, the things you're worried about in your first year are very different from the things you're worried about in your 10th year. But you have to navigate all of those in this simple place of following Christ. And what I hear you saying is, I think one of the temptations for us is we have such access to data right now, whether it's, you know, listen to Huberman Labs and listen to 3 hours of studies on some various minute scientific idea, or you're wearing your body data ring and watch, and you know how many steps you took and how much oxygen is in your system and what your heartbeat is. All of this information just has a way of dragging us down. I don't think it's the plan. And I don't like to see families that are burdened and bogged down because they know so much about the physiology of every person in their family and all the risks that we lose sight of living free and easy. Yes, within the constraints of we want to be healthy, we want to be blooming in every area. So I might have just restated long what you wanted to say.
No, I mean, it's totally true. Amelia, my wife, got this new watch from Garmin that she had all the features turned on because it was brand new, and it kept interrupting her and going, "You're really stressed right now." And,
wow.
And I was like, what are you doing with that thing? Are you stressed right now? She's like, I didn't think so. I'm like, turn the feature off. That's
yes.
So evil.
Yes.
But, you know, I think I came to a similar conclusion when I was going through some health challenges and there was a temptation to just get more data. What if I could know how my sleep was last night and have a device to tell me this and that? And it did not lead to more peace and resting in the comfort of the Lord's provision.
Even pursuing health or optimizing health can be one of these layers of trapping that I think the enemy wants for us. And while you have to deal with reality, we're not telling anybody to like ignore actual diagnoses, et cetera. I just want us to, I know I've said this in the previous episode, I want us to be people for whom our goal is, I want to live free and easy. I want to be able to eat whatever. I don't want to have to worry about my life. We're actually told, do not worry about your life. We did episodes with my father back in the day where he is saying in very plain terms, I'm not worried about dying. Jesus took care of the fear of death for me. So I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to proceed with faith and confidence. I think that's what we want for each of our families. What is our goal? Our goal is that we would responsibly handle our bodies, 1 Corinthians 6, which you mentioned, and at the same time, not be burdened by, how much of that omega-3 fish oil are we taking today? And all of that stuff, that doesn't sound like the life of faith.
So to start off, Stephen, I agree with everything you said. I really have split this into two parts for today. One, we're going to get to second, that's kids' activities and how we manage all that. But the first one is probably the number one thing people think of when I talk about building physical capital, which is, how do I keep my body healthy? How do I keep my kids' bodies healthy? Like, what are we going to do for exercise?
Right.
And there's a few basic truths here that I'm just going to stick out there. So if you're thinking that we're going to tell you it's P90X, we're not going to get into that. I would say there's lots of ways to approach exercise and physical activity. I have found that there are some that are better than others, but I'm not really interested today in trying to dive into what the specific exercise program is.
Yeah.
I think that most people who like to have that argument a lot spend a lot more time having that argument than they do just diligently over long periods of time committing to discipline when it comes to exercise. That's what we're not up to. Number two, over in our volley group, which is where our financial backers talk to each other and to us, I asked a question. What are you guys curious about when it comes to health? And people chimed in with some questions, but they also chimed in with some of their own hot sports takes. And VJ said something I just thought was worth shining a light on. He said, can we remember that fitness really isn't the goal for the sake of fitness? I'm not trying to have completely chiseled body or be able to run a sub 2.5 hour marathon. The goal is to be healthy and live long enough to see our generations and interact with them. So I want to be able to pick up a grandchild when I'm 80.
Right. I
agree with that. I think that's really what we should be thinking as the primary mandate for us is take care of your body so it serves you well over the long haul. And the last thing that came from our volley group, Ira, he said something that made me laugh. He said, why are endurance sports like the new midlife crisis thing for a middle-aged guy? They don't go buy a Porsche. They decide to spend $5,000 on a road bike and some spandex and go out and parade around town and show off their fitness. And
That's great. Was that the wonderfully named Ira Nicodemus?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Don't you want to meet with that guy kind of in a dark cafe and discuss spiritual questions?
I just want to share secrets with him.
Yeah. Well, but we know we're not supposed to do that. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. No secret information.
So anything else you would just say, Stephen, as kind of foundational principles when it comes to how a family should approach physical health and activity?
No, I'm all ears.
Okay. I'm going to focus a little bit on what my family does, and I'm going to tell you a few things that are, in my mind, non-negotiables. So is it a secret to you that most Americans are not, they're not getting in sufficient physical activity on a regular basis? Most of us.
No, I'm from Houston, Texas, the fattest city in the nation. So
I didn't know that. And last week we talked about the fact that you can't out-exercise a bad diet, right? The reason is because diet, it feels so good. You can go to Houston right now and there's so many things that would feel so good to put into our tummies.
Yes. And
maybe uniquely so. Houston has some really delicious foods on offer. But you know what doesn't feel good is going for a run and doing my boring 3-mile little pitter-pat around the neighborhood. That doesn't feel great while it's happening.
Yes.
Even when I was doing ultra marathons, which was me taking fitness and using this this excuse that I'm doing something healthy to go and overindulge in a hobby, I'm going to say. So you can do ultra marathons if you want, but don't. I kind of let it take over for a brief minute in my life. Even when I was doing that, I always said the first 4 miles is miserable of a run. I always hated it.
Yeah.
Miles 5 through 50 could feel great, but
right.
Miles 1 through 4 always hurt. So I think that our problem is we don't like discipline and we don't like repeated, just I'm going to commit to something and do it over the long term. And that's true with our diets. It's also true with the way that we do exercise. So I've been a part of group fitness classes where they're like, you know, the kind of CrossFit model, which I don't think is bad, but they have this thing where it's like, we're going to confuse your muscles with a different activity every day. And you can probably see some benefit from what they do. That's fine. But if you want to get really good at doing squats, do you know what you have to do?
Squat.
You have to do squats every week and you have to add a little bit of weight and you will get stronger. And all the muscles you're trying to train will get stronger. So I think discipline and diligence over time is the answer almost no matter what type of exercise that you choose. With that being said, I think there are some types of exercise that you should consider choosing because they are really important to that goal that Vijay outlined of we're trying to make our bodies resilient and healthy for as long as possible. And for most everyone, my wife talks to women about this all the time, lifting weights is so important to having a long health span, which is different than lifespan. You can live, you can be an invalid and get pushed around in a wheelchair. But if you want to be able to, for example, lay on your back on the ground and get up off the ground by yourself when you're 90, that puts you in like the tiniest percentage of the 1% of 90-year-olds. Most humans who make it to 90 don't even come close to being able to do that simple task. And Peter Attia, who is...
Because you get lazy when you turn 90?
It's because your muscles degrade at this incredibly depressing rate. It's something I didn't do my homework enough to have all these numbers at my fingertips, but it's something like, you know, Steven, you're in your 50s, I'm in my 40s. You and I can take like 2 weeks off at the gym and it'll take a few workouts to feel like we're kind of back into, okay, I'm kind of back to where I was. When you're in your 80s, if you take an extended period of no physical activity, it can basically be impossible to get back to where you started.
Wow.
So how do we deal with that? Peter Attia is a podcaster and a physician, and he's super challenging sometimes to listen to because he only talks about Peter Attia. He's very interested in himself. However, he has developed kind of his book that he wrote is called Outlive. And I always laugh because I think this guy who focuses all his research and time on longevity is probably going to get hit by a bus when he's, you know, in his middle age. But but what he has done is kind of looked at the rate of degradation in the human body and said, I'm going to back into the tasks I want to be able to perform later in life. So, for example, if I want to be able to pick up a 30-pound grandkid when I'm in my mid-80s, and I know the rate of decay for muscles over time with age,
yep.
Here are the things I should I'm designing a training program for that. Meaning I need to be able to do X amount of weight when I'm 50 and even more when I'm 40. And I need to be training that way when I'm 30, because I know that over time I'm going to experience decline in my muscle mass. My favorite way to deal with this decline is by using barbells. There's a lot of ways to do it, but I'll tell you, lifting heavy weights with barbells, you don't have to get creative and invent a bunch of new techniques. It's, can I put a barbell on my back and squat? Can I do squats? Can I press? Just take the barbell and press it over my head? Can I deadlift? And then can I bench press? Those four exercises by themselves, if that's the only weightlifting you do, will cover your entire body and get you way stronger than what you would do if you're doing whatever the silly personal trainer at the gym tells you you should do.
Sure.
There's a book that if you're listening to this and going, okay, guys, I hear you. I believe that this is interesting. I've never tried lifting weights. It's called Starting Strength. It's written by a guy down in Wichita Falls, Texas. He has a whole podcast, which is extremely profane, but very helpful if you have questions about lifting weights. And if all you do is read that book, Starting Strength, you will have everything you need to cover barbell training for the rest of your life. You can do that from start to finish. That's my recommendation. So much so, Steve, that I'm going to do a giveaway right now. If you're listening to this episode and you would like me to send you a copy of this book, which is not a cheap book, all you have to do is comment on our YouTube channel or any of our socials with what you're doing for training. And it could be, I'm doing no training right now, but I would like to. Or it could be, hey, I think you guys are dumb and we should all just be doing ballet like Herschel Walker did in the 80s for training. Whatever you want. You just have to tell us what you're doing for your personal exercise, even if it's nothing. And we will enter you into the possibility. We'll send one person a copy of Starting Strength, so they can get interested in the barbell lifting program.
Nice. I have a comment to what you're saying,
okay,
which is, I want people to know that when you are finding exercise gurus, and I'm going to put your personal trainer category under the same thing, what they're interested in is making things interesting. Okay. Even with personal trainers, we've done that in our family before, the personal trainers. When you say they kind of come up with, there's new concoctions of things all the time for, here's, do this with a kettlebell. Well, I'm into heavy ropes and blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of different stuff going on, and their goal, it's not a bad goal. It can be really helpful if you're an exerciser and you go like, I'm just so bored with all this stuff that I just want something new and interesting. That's their whole world. But what you're telling us is these very basic exercises are all that you need to have for very reasonable, functional health and strength, right? So yes. Number one, these kind of boring, known, major exercises are all that you need.
For strength training, 100%.
Yeah. And we know that you could probably buy a barbell set on your Facebook marketplace or on your Craigslist. Is that dirty? Is there such a thing as like,
no, I think you could do it. You could go on any of those places.
Okay. And you can probably find a used barbell set for $50.
Maybe.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So my question to you, Mark, is for a 28-year-old, how often or in what of his exercise diet do you think that pushing heavy weights and putting that good, healthy strain on his joints, it's right, actually good for your bones as well to lift weights and muscles and tendons. How often do you think that needs to be happening for him?
If you're doing this efficiently, it can happen in so little time per week. I think realistically, I spend probably an hour and a half a week on weightlifting, and I cover all of those bases, you know, and that's kind of a maintenance level. If you're trying, you could spend a lot more than that. You could probably even be more efficient than that and still get a lot of benefits. So without going into specific programming, I think that there's almost no excuse for saying, I just don't have time to do this.
Right.
Because it's a really low time commitment. The other protestation that we hear is gym memberships, man. They're so expensive. And I just want to tell you, in most big cities now, all these national chain gyms, their business model is based on chuckleheads who on January 4th go in and sign up for a membership and they say, it's only 10 bucks a month. Well, how could that be? You look around and you go, this place, they probably have to have 10,000 members at that price to get the revenue they need for this humongous piece of real estate. That's because they know that one out of 50 of those people that sign up are actually going to come to the gym on a regular basis. And so you, listener, can benefit from kind of this arbitrage opportunity. You can arbitrage the poor discipline of the masses and get a $10 a month membership, and you can go every day if you want. You can take advantage of the stuff they've got there. So it's really affordable, you know, for pretty much any budget to find a gym
space really is.
They could work in. In my city, there's even options to have free gym space if you go to the rec centers. Some of them are included just for residents. So there's a lot of options if you're motivated. If you live out in the country, you can, you know, do what you just said, Stephen, and go find a cheap set of something to push around in your garage.
Yes. Here in Cincinnati, between rec centers and YMCAs, I'm almost sure the summer deal is with all the Cincinnati parks and all of the rec centers. I think it's $10 for the entire summer. Go in as much as you want. So that's incredible.
For the sake of time, kind of moving on, I think that most people are going to want to do something else, not just lift. Like if you're genetically blessed with a body that has perfect blood pressure and all that, you could just lift weights and go on long walks and probably be pretty healthy if you had a good diet. Most of us need to exercise our hearts and do some cardio and things like that. I'm not going to talk too much about that. My personal method is I go on runs about half the days, and the other half the days I do some sort of interval training where I'm like swinging something around and doing some jump ropes and pushing a sled and things like that. The reason I do that is because it's very time efficient. I can get my cardio exercise in 30 minutes, and I'm going to go hard at that, get my heart rate up. And I do that mainly because I have been blessed with the opposite of great genetics. And I find that if I do nothing, I start to get really high blood pressure or things don't function the way that they do when things are going well. So I do that. You could add hiking. You could do running or biking. I did put a caveat on here, Stephen, and this is not meant as a personal attack against you.
I'll be all right.
But I said, you should beware of activities that aren't necessarily going to build your physical fitness. And I put things in there like golf, pickleball, basketball. All of those things could, if I went out and walked 36 holes of golf a day, I would be a fit guru. But if I ride in a golf cart for 9 holes and pretend that was exercise, it wasn't. The reason pickleball got so popular initially was because it was a hit with the retirees who couldn't move their bodies. So
yes,
you can participate in that sport with no exercise. I see guys all the time who stand in the corner at their pickup basketball game and they don't run at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that those sports or activities never have physical benefits, but you should just be aware, I like to do this. And if I don't intentionally focus on making sure it's high intensity exercise for some portion of time with my week, it could be one of those things where I just kind of go, well, why am I gaining weight when I do this activity? Well, it's because you're not really challenging your body.
Fair. Just to go back to, we must stress our bodies. We had to stress your muscles to build muscles. You have to stress your heart to have heart health. So whatever you're doing, I know it's nice to get out and get fresh air and take a walk. That's very good. Go, yes, please go take a walk. and you must stress your muscles also to build them.
Yeah. One last thing. There's a network called F3 that somebody mentioned in our volley channel. I've talked to people who have done this. It's a free peer-led men's groups all around the country that get together and work out. And I think there's like a faith, a Jesus following component to this too. So if you're going, okay, I'm going to buy the weights, put them in my garage. I can't afford a gym membership, or I don't have, maybe check out f3nation.com. You could find that you make some friends and, you know, get together with some guys and get your exercise in a few times a week that way. So just a, a resource. Anything else to say? I know we're flying over this at 30,000 feet, Stephen, but anything else to say before I move on to some quick thoughts on handling activity in our kids?
My only thing to say is this, that the things that we're describing are going to, they must insinuate themselves into your weekly calendar. So if it, just look at five capitals. Physical capital is pretty high in the list. So after your spiritual life and your relationships, your physical life is right there, and it should find itself into your weekly schedule. So you might be like me, and your tendency has always been, well, when I get everything else done in my life that needs to be done, yeah, I'd love to be able, it's kind of like saying, I love to read the Bible when I have some spare time. If you have that attitude towards your physical fitness and your health, things are going to be out of whack. So I say start with your calendar. For me, when something's on the calendar, then I don't ask myself whether I want to do it or not. I remember training for marathons. It was like, well, I don't really feel like running 5 miles of hills right now. Well, tough luck. It's on the schedule. You have to do it. I think that's what discipline looks like. So I have to throw that in. If you're asking God for health and fitness, it needs to find its way onto your calendar sooner than later.
So turning to, we've thought about how we handle health for ourselves, maybe our wives too fall into that category. I got to throw it in. My wife says barbell training and heavy lifting is good for everyone. She's like, it is dramatically better for women, even though they are much less likely to do it than men, because they are the ones that experience so much bone density loss and things like this that are less common in men. So she's had patients that she said for years, well, if you wanted to do something, I would recommend lifting heavy weights. And she said, somebody came to her just the other day and said, I finally did what you said and it changed my life completely. Thank you. So just a thought there. But as parents, we're also stewarding these little kids who don't have full ability to control their own kind of capitals in some of these areas. And our job is to train them into people who can handle these resources. And so how do we do that? There's two ditches here. One is we don't do that with kids. We're not worried about that. They're kids. They can just go run around. And last week when we were talking about food, we talked about the fact that a humongous percentage of American children are obese right now.
Yeah.
And another hot take from my wife was, if your children are obese, that's on you as a parent.
I remember that.
And we also just said, well, you can't outrun a bad diet. So we can't take a kid, shovel them full of junk food, and then put them on a treadmill until they have a normal body weight. However, I do think having regular activity for your kids is something that not only helps with general health, it also builds all these other discipline things. We were just talking about the whole thing about physical challenging activity is it's not super pleasant while we're doing it, and we have to push through that. Building that muscle in a kid has a much bigger effect than just the calories burned when they're out doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
It also helps them go, I know how to experience hardship and discomfort and press on.
They could turn into state champs someday if they learn those lessons.
That's true. So that's one ditch. The people that just say, we're not worried about this, I would say worry about it. Physical activity in your kids is very important. And we'll talk about that in a second. The other ditch is maybe the one that I see even more commonly where we are, which is kids, activities, and sports are running our entire lives. And so I have a few data points for you, Steve.
Go ahead.
In 2024, the average U.S. family spent approximately $1,016 on their child's primary sport, which is a 46% increase since 2019. So in 5 years, we've gone up by half.
Wow.
That's just on their child's primary sport. Keep in mind, we're not talking about at your local private school. This is across all of America.
Right. That's right.
For families with kids involved in multiple sports, the total annual expenditure rose to just under $1,500 per child.
Oh, my word.
And then families, and how do we get to that average? Well, here's the answer. Families with children in elite or travel teams report spending over an average of $8,000 for 1 year of club soccer, covering expenses like tuition, travel, and equipment.
Wow.
Even amongst, if we partition out just kids between ages of 6 and 10 years old, even in that group, the reported spending is over $1,000 annually on total sports participation across all their sports. So it's a thing that, for whatever reason, Americans are on an increasing basis spending more and more money here. And the reason I bring it up is because if you don't have a plan for how you're going to handle this as a parent, I'll just tell you, the culture will, like anything, the culture will take you down this river and just go, somehow we found ourselves spending every single weekend all summer in, you know, random hotels in Ely, Nevada, because we just didn't know where our lines were. So there's that. That's the one ditch.
And for that problem, do you say you just need to know what you're going to do? It needs to be discussed as a budget item.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about what we do, how we've dealt with it. Again, it's kind of like exercise. I'm not going to tell you what your family should do. I really want you to, if you're listening to this, think through what is our goal with physical capital. What is our unique family culture? Are we a family that's like, man, I mean, my wife and I were college athletes, and sports and athletics and hard physical activity has been a huge part of developing us into the people we are. And it has impacts on our spiritual life. It has all these things. We absolutely must pass that to our kids. If we didn't, we wouldn't be training them in the things that the Lord has used to refine us. If you're hearing this and you're like, my wife and I both play the violin in the orchestra and have never done physical activity in our life, you might not have the same approach to this as me. All I'm saying is you can't say we don't do it at all.
Fair. Okay.
So just kind of to talk about how we've approached it, before I talk about how I've approached sports as a family, I mean, I see a lot of homeschool families that their kids don't do anything in this realm, or they only do individual sports. You're shaking your head. Have you had that experience, Stephen?
Oh my gosh. We know so many homeschool families that not only is everyone like a wet noodle, they got nothing going on physically, which I think is a mess. I think is a mistake. But I even think about how much of social building is, can you just go out onto a volleyball field and with some strangers and just keep the ball up in the air? I mean, do you have the skills or the interest to do that? I think of how many kids that I grew up with, like they are self-ostracizing almost, because, well, I can't do any of those things. Well, I think it's part of socialization for our families that we make our children capable of. I want, one of our kind of family values is that we want to be gamers. That means that we're up for it. And if somebody wants to go on an outing, we can do it. If somebody wants to do a pickup game of basketball, you don't have to be the greatest player in the world, but we can participate. This stereotype of the homeschoolers, the Christians that keep everybody at home, is that I don't know. We read Lord of the Rings a lot, and we're super nerdy about Bible verses, and we can't mix with society. That bothers me, and I think that being sports illiterate is part of that thing. I think it's bad for your children socially as well as physically. That's what
yeah.
I think.
The last thing I'll say before I tell you what our family does on sports stuff is our buddy Jeremy Pryor. I feel like I have permission to say this because he's such a friend of the podcast recently okay. on talking about Abraham. And he has often said, you know, our family, we only do sports that we can do as a whole family. So we're going to do tennis. I think they're big pickleballers. He recently posted something about kickball league, family kickball league. And God bless him. I think this is the worst idea ever to limit yourself to only being able to do things that your whole family does for exactly the reason you said, Stephen. I developed a lot as a young man because I got pinned to a wrestling mat by a stronger kid who wanted to hurt me. And I learned from not making the eighth grade basketball team that I actually had to get better. And I learned from being on the football team as a kid, like some kids don't like you and you have to navigate social dynamics. And, you know, you're developing slower than that boy. So he's cooler than you on the football team. How are you going to deal with that?
Yeah.
So much of the things that sports can develop actually come from interacting with peers, and mixing that dynamic with physical struggle is, I think, irreplaceable by going out to the park with your family and playing kickball.
I agree.
So there you go. Thrown out a hot sports opinion in which I disagree with Jeremy, even though overall, love the guy and recommend him. For our family, we're not really at risk of that ditch. We don't do sports. Culturally, we just know ourselves. We trend towards the overdoing it side of basically everything in life. I'll just give you to wrap up today how we have approached this. And it's mostly just a result of sitting down before we get involved. And again, being aware that there is a current that will take us down the river and saying we don't want that to happen passively. So for us, we've said as much as we love kids' sports, they won't take over our family. So that means no travel teams. So we have kids in club sports. And we have friends that travel, like I said, every single weekend all summer. For us, we might go to one tournament that's a few hours away, but we will not do any teams, no matter what, that involve constant travel, hotels, all that. That's uninteresting to us. It takes us away from church community. It takes us away from all the things we like to do. So it's a no for us. Again, you don't have to say no travel teams for your family, but I just want you to be thoughtful about it before it gets put on your desk. Like, sign this agreement to sign up for the travel league. And the second thing is that we're also happy to say no to sports when it conflicts with something of higher value. And we're upfront about this before we join a team. So I have said to our kids, we're going to see your sister sing tonight, even though your coach has said you must not miss practice tonight, because we do not value his soccer practice as much as we value being a part of seeing her perform something she's worked really hard on. I think about, there's this Mormon business guy that he's passed away now, but his name was Clayton Christensen. He's a really sharp, he was at Harvard Business School for a long time. But he talks about his early days as a consultant. He worked for one of these management consulting firms. And he had graduated from Harvard Business School and he was there. And their expectation is, well, we own you now and you will work for us 100 hours a week at our beck and call. And they told him on his first day, on Saturday, we'll be doing this stuff. And on Sunday, we'll be wrapping up the presentation. So we'll be here at these hours. And he said, I'm sorry, but Saturday is the day I have reserved for my family. And so I won't be in the office on Saturday. And Sunday is a day I've reserved for my God. And so I will be in my church services on Sunday. And you would have thought they would have fired him on the spot, but the long story short, he became wildly successful and a renowned professor of business despite saying no to things that on paper you would have said, well, they're going to fire him. I have found the same to be true in kids' sports. They might say, this is a non-negotiable, you must be here, but it's you're allowed to just say, we won't be there and see what happens.
Yep. I think the principle that you're getting at no point are we going to vacate the responsibility of leading our families. So
exactly.
We feel the same way about, as I said, ballet, sports, school. We went through some angsty times of the kids going, you don't know how much reading we have to do. And I said, our family observes a Sabbath. So I don't care what reading you're going to get done this weekend. I'll take it up with the teachers if necessary, but we're not doing that because they don't lead our family. I lead our family. I love that negotiation with any obligations your family's getting into, that you make it known. I'm not going to like try to oppose you. I want to support the team. I hope the team does great. And I want you to know, we're not just giving you a key to our kids' entire schedule. There'll be a constant negotiating, and we hope it works out, and God bless you. And I think that's very wise and responsible.
Yeah. Number three principle for us is we absolutely love cheering for each other. So we make sports into a family affair. We coach and we volunteer with teams. We barbecue during soccer practice, or we attend the Friday night basketball game. And that's just, your family may not be like that. You may go, we do it because we think it's good for them, but we don't really love it. That's fine. But for us, we have like said, this is a value. And when any parent is doing something sports-wise that is possible for us to all be at, we're going to be there together supporting. And the result is we've had so much fun doing that. So
that's
for us,
great.
It's a joy, but it's a family activity even when it's just one of us participating.
Great principle.
Four, we do involve our kids in physical things that we love doing. So that could be lifting weights. We get them started there on a pretty young age. It could be golf. Those don't necessarily have to be their sports. I don't play soccer, but to go back to kind of Jeremy's thing, I do think there is value in pulling your kids into the things you love doing. So I'm sharing
yes.
that with my kids, and we do physical activity together as a family that we love doing, and they don't have to be a PGA golfer, but they are going to learn to play, and that will once in a while be a thing we do as a family because mom and dad like it.
I love that. I'm borrowing from Justin Wolfenberg now because this was his big thing. Do I have to go to the playground with my 6-year-old always? And it dawned on him. Wait a second. Kind of what we were just saying. Wait a second. I lead this family. This is my family. So what can I do with my 6-year-old? Well, I could teach my 6-year-old anything. So why aren't we doing things that I enjoy? One value that I think is really great is that I want my children to see me enjoying physical activity and sports. And even if I'm tired or sore because of the lifting that I did yesterday, I want them to see me smiling and go, woo, I'm sore, but boy, you know, I know I'm getting stronger. I want them to see that modeling happen. And I think that participating in sports together, even if you're playing a round of golf with your kids, they see how you handle frustration. They see how you handle somebody else doing poorly. Do you gloat at them? Do you encourage them, et cetera? I think that mixing, I think both things are true. Putting them on a team where they kind of have to deal with it and get along with others, really good. Also, doing things together and us talking through what's happening live while it's happening, also really good. So I like both of those things too.
Yeah. I think the last one I would say is that we, in reasonable doses, we require our kids to do stuff they don't want to do in this physical realm. So my best example of this is I had a daughter. My middle daughter was, she did not like running, and she is very, very, very gifted when it comes to soccer. That's her sport. Mm-hmm. She hates running though. And we noticed, you know, you're kind of getting winded out there. And so we need to develop some cardiovascular fitness. And I said, you have two options. You can just say, I don't like doing this, so I'm going to join the cross country team at school. They have a middle school team, and I will run every day, and they will have a program for me. That's fine. Or you can kind of test out of that. And the way you do that is I want a 2-mile run this summer to be done in 20 minutes or less. And she of course chose, well, I'll just do that. No problem. And I think her first attempt was like 32 minutes.
Yeah.
It was barely above the walking pace. And at first I sent her out on a few attempts and I strapped a little GPS to her, so I know exactly how far she had gone and how fast, and we weren't making any progress. So I realized, okay, dad needs to step in and help lead here. So we started doing runs together. I won't ever forget getting stopped by a group of construction workers who said, because I had a furious tantruming daughter next to me that was saying, I can't go one more step. My knees hurt, blah, blah, blah. And these guys pull over and they're like, sir, I'm sorry, but we need to make sure that you're actually this girl's father, because from our perspective, it kind of looks like you're kidnapping her right now. We tried, and we were getting like, there's only 3 weeks of summer left. There's only 2 weeks of summer left. And we had come close. We had done like 20 minutes and 12 seconds, 20 minutes and 9 seconds.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm just saying, honey, it's all mental. You can push through. And one day she woke up and she said, I'm just going to do it no matter how I feel today. And she went under 18 minutes.
Just excellent.
Blew the doors off. And the benefit of that had nothing to do with her cardiovascular fitness.
Yes.
Nothing. It was entirely her clicking in the brain going, I can do things that are really uncomfortable and hard. And my dad is going to support me through it. And that, we talk about it still. That was like a year and a half ago. We still talk about, you remember that time you just thought there was no way you would ever do this, and then you blew it out of the water? That's the same is true when you're crying over a math homework that's really hard, or
right,
whatever else we're working on. And so we don't put 200 pounds on the back of a 12-year-old and say,
sure,
squat this. We use a measured, thoughtful dose of discomfort and hardship in physical capital.
That's really good.
Teach valuable lessons across all five capitals to our kids.
That's great. And I got to bring it back to the verse that you mentioned at the beginning. Physical training is of some value, that it can be used in a way to build somebody's character. I'm thinking of, I assume this is your middle child you're talking about. And I can't imagine what she's going to do in her lifetime, accomplishment-wise, just because of that one simple lesson that's now clicked, it's like dropped into her heart. Like, I believe this about myself. It could be, I don't know, it could be that you have 8 grandchildren instead of 2 because of that simple belief that she has. It could be that she's going to be a gardener that goes and takes care of everything through the winter. Or what? Who knows? She's going to be a zookeeper. I don't know. But she learns this valuable lesson because you have, as a disciple maker father, apportioned pain to grow her up. I think it's super cool.
Yeah. So that's all I've got this week. Thanks to our crew, our listening crew, for sticking with us through a long episode. I think we probably could have split this into 2 separate episodes, but we gave it to you all at once. And that's what I've got here on physical activity as family building tool.
Sweet. Thanks, Mark. Well, I would say to everybody else that not just physically, but all the way down to financially and all the way up to spiritual leadership, do everything you can this week to run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. And we'll see you next time.